Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B. This is Monica Pearson, and if it's your birthday, I know you want this day to last forever. And so I'm going to say happy birthday to my Facebook friends. Happy birthday, Wanda Holiday, Freddie Flint, and Steve Allen. Happy birthday. David Massey, I hope you enjoy your day. Mike Venable, happy birthday. And happy 65th birthday to James Ellis. Now, all of you share your birthdays with these famous people. Sophia Vergara is 44. Who would have guessed? Jessica Simpson is 36. Now, actor Chiwetel Ejiofor is 39. You will remember him from the movie 12 Years as a Slave. Football coach from Ohio State, Urban Meyer. He's 52 today. Football player, wide receiver Antonio Brown, who in 2011 became the first NFL player to compile over 1,000 returning yards. Can you believe that? To compile over 1,000 returning yards and receiving yards in one season. You go. NFL running back Trent Richardson is 26. Soccer star Gabriel Arenas is 33. And then actor Bubba Ganter is 47. Now you're saying, Monica, who is Bubba Ganter? Okay. If you watch the Nickelodeon show Game Shakers, you know him as Bunny. And he's also a former bodyguard for Dolly Parton. Happy birthday to all of you. And stick around, because we're going to be talking some more about the Ice Cream Festival of Atlanta and then what's going on in this city this weekend. You're listening to Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. This is Monica Pearson. So if you're looking for something to do that's free and fun and for the family, on July 23rd at Piedmont Park from 11 to 6, it's the Atlanta Ice Cream Festival. Kevin James is the founder. Tommy Dorch is the chair of the Fulton DeKalb Hospital Authority, who's the premier, I'm going to call you the premier sponsor this year of this event.
Yes, they are.
So, Kevin, why should I come and bring my kids?
You know, the number one reason is because this event was created exclusively for families to come outside, be outside, break a sweat, enjoy America's number one dessert, which is ice cream. Now, of course, while they're there, they're still going to experience so many fun things to do other than just consume delicious ice cream all day. There are a lot of activities where, you know, the bungee jumps and the bounce houses, as well as we have the laser tag zone this year, in addition to zip line. I tell you, there's a lot of activities. We're going all out. Year number six, we're going all out. There are a lot more surprises as well. But, you know, one thing we didn't mention was the Fight Cancer Walk. That's taking place. We employ and make sure that people know that there's ways that you can stay active and support those in the country that need support. So our Fight Cancer Walk is for Leah Dorch, one of my good buddies that helped me start the festival years ago. And we're having a Fight Cancer Walk first thing in the morning at 10 o'clock in the morning at the park.
So tomorrow morning at the park.
Saturday morning, the 23rd.
You said tomorrow morning, and I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm just counting down.
So the walk is the same day, July 23rd. If you want to participate in the walk, is there a website they can go to?
Exactly. The main website for the festival is AtlantaIceCreamFestival.com. Okay. And on there's a link to register for the walk.
Well, you know, as a person who survived both breast cancer and liver cancer, I really think this is great. And I've learned that there are a lot of things that we do from stress that cause our health problems. So I think this health fair, which is what I'm calling it, along with the ice cream, is just really a great idea. And I think in this kind of friendly, fun environment, Tommy, that people are going to be more willing to say, okay, check me out. Because you know you men don't like to go to the doctor.
That's one of the biggest problems. Even we're the number one victims of prostate cancer.
Yes.
And with early detection, it can be managed, can be cured. And there are cultural reasons we don't do it. I'm a 27-year survivor of one of the deadliest cancers ever documented, adenocarcinoma of the small intestine. July 3rd was my 27th year.
Congratulations.
It's a 92% mortality rate. I'm an 8% who survived. I am a prostate cancer survivor. But the reason why I'm living today is I started at age 23 of getting complete physicals every year, and I've done that every year. And at age 45, they had said you should start having your colorectal exam, and now they have new ways. They just draw your blood, can check your PSA. And so I've done that every year since 45. And the important thing, and that's why even with us coming to the park, we take care of our cars, our major appliances. We get them all serviced and checked. But these bodies, we only get one, and these are phenomenal machines. And what we have to do is make sure we get our checkups. And when discovered early, medicine has made so many advances, you can be treated.
Oh, you know I know.
Oh, yeah.
You know I know. We both are living examples. Well, if you want to come out, and I really encourage you to do this, because as Kevin said, there's going to be a fitness area so that if you can learn how to be, you know, most people think they have to join a gym, and you don't.
No. Yoga and aerobics
on stage.
I need
the yoga.
And all those activities are free. Those are free activities, just demonstrations. We even have a gentleman this year doing trampoline aerobics.
Come on.
You have mini trampolines, 10 mini trampolines. And he's going to be on the main stage, and he's going to be going through a series of exercises that you can do voluntarily. You know, no cost. Just come on down. Have fun.
And also eat ice cream. And I think at the early part of the show, if you're just now joining us, you've got to understand, Kevin was telling me they even have ice cream with bacon in it.
Yes.
Okay? And then there's a 10-year-old who has his own ice cream company.
Yes, Lil Ice Cream Dude. That's his name. Lil Ice Cream Dude.
And I've had his ice cream, and it is very good.
Well, I thank you both for being here, because I think this is the kind of event that will get more people to get their checkups.
Definitely.
And then at the same time, they can play so that it's we know it's serious, but it's not that serious, if you know what I mean. And I love the idea of the ice cream festival. If nothing else, I have just got to come and munch on that.
There you go.
And what's so good about this, it's from 11 to 6. Yes. And then folks can come on down to Centennial Olympic Park, because there's the 20th year celebration of Atlanta's Olympic Games. So you can make a whole day of it with your family. Wear the kids out, so by the time you get home, they're snoring in the backseat of the car, and that's the end of it. So again, July 23rd, 11 to 6 at Piedmont Park. And I thank Tommy Darch and Mr. Kevin James for coming in. And now I've got something for you, since you've been so patient to listen and finding out this great information. In case you missed any of this, the podcast will be up probably on Tuesday. If you're calling number 14 at 404-741-0104, I'm going to give you a pair of tickets to go see the Mary Jane Girls, Lakeside, Confunction. And this is all happening on Saturday, July 16th. And one of my favorite entertainers, Sheila E., because when she did the BET Awards, that girl was so bad. And last year, she was one of the featured people we had, I guess, 2 years ago for our event that we always had, Flashback. So, if you want to go see these wonderful entertainers, be the 14th caller at 404-741-0104. And stick around, because after, in the next half an hour, we're going to start our conversation about police brutality, demonstrations. How do we get from here to there? What are the practical solutions? What do we need to do versus marching? And why the marching that's being done now is very different from the marching in the civil rights movement. And there are lessons to be learned from that history. Be the 14th caller, 404-741-0104. You're listening to KISS. You're listening to KISS 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks, and I'm Monica Pearson, and now we're going to have our discussion that I have been waiting for these three gentlemen to get here so we can get it started. John Evans, who is the Fulton County Commission Chair. He also, by the way, has a master's in religion from Yale, which very few people know, and a PhD in education administration. Gerald Griggs, criminal defense attorney, who represented a woman who made an online threats to police. So Did I call John something else?
Kevin.
Oh, yeah. It's John Eaves. John Eaves.
I was looking for John Eaves.
Yeah, no, John Eaves. And the thing about it is I was so fond of his uncle, Reginald Eaves, right, for so many years. So I was having what we would call a mind fart. That's just what that is. Thank you very much, Mr. Dortch. And then Tommy Dortch, who is the former president not only of the Atlanta 100 Black Men, but also the national, the American 100 Black Men. And then again, as I said, Gerald Griggs, criminal defense attorney, who is representing, in many cases, families where there have been cases of police, alleged police brutality. Yeah. So here's where I'm going to start. I wanted to do this show because I'm finding that young people don't understand the difference between demonstrating today and demonstrating back then. But I'm going to start off talking about police, and then we'll go into that. Well, my husband, who's been in law enforcement 35 years, said to me, they don't understand. It's not about what you do in the streets. It's about what you do in the democratic process, being registered to vote, then voting, and then you've got to work within the police departments. He said, are you aware, Monica, that every police department has different policies? Now, John Eaves, you've got 14 municipalities,
yes,
in Fulton County. Right. You've got over a million citizens. How do we get the same standards across the board?
Well, it can be done. Let me just kind of back up. I think that there is certainly undeniable anger out there, but anger misapplied or misdirected is ineffective. And I think that people need to understand that there is a connection between protesting and policy development and practice or implementation. And so young people who are very active in the protests have to understand that it's just not enough to go and wave signs and do this and the other. They need to show up at board meetings and council meetings, and that's where policy development occurs that really has an impact on people on the local level. So there is a disconnect right now. But where I sit as chairman of Fulton County, as you pointed out, Monica, a million residents in 14 different cities, the reality is each city, each municipality, each jurisdiction has its own set of policies, rules, and procedures. One of the things that I want to do is to make sure that there's uniformity and consistency across the board. And I think we can do that. President Obama called for a task force about a year ago, 21st Century Policing. Wonderful, great suggestions, recommendations. I have convened a meeting of the police chiefs already dealing with body cameras, but I think we can go a step further in terms of having uniform practices of not only body cameras, but also these recommendations that deal and evolve around community policing. So, long response to your question, a lot can be done. The protest is certainly noticeable, but it's misdirected if it does not lead to policy development.
Now, when you talk about the 21st Century Task Force, not many police departments have put any of those recommendations in place.
Absolutely right. There has to be pressure. There has to be accountability. So that's why I said that the protest is not as effective as it can be if it's not matched up with policy. So people need to understand that local boards, commissions, etc., mayors, executives who oversee government, they can enforce, push for police departments to adopt these recommendations. If there's political will, such as there is here in Fulton County, we are a diverse constituency, diverse leadership, we recognize the value of this. So we can call for it. But it's important for individuals who are concerned and disgusted and angry, frustrated, they need to connect with their local leadership and ensure that these type of recommendations are adopted on a local level.
I guess the other part of that for me that really concerns me is that when you talk about community policing, you know, the standard we have now is they're a paramilitary organization. There has to be a move from that, which is one of the recommendations, getting police back into the neighborhoods, and then getting the neighborhoods to trust police and be involved in setting those policies for the police department. And I know you have this Fulco Smart. Isn't that something you do?
Yeah, so we first of all, community policing is about partnership. And so police cannot be as effective without citizens who are engaged. citizens want to be protected, and we need police. And so there's got to be a sort of an equal view in terms of a partnership. In Fulton County, we have officers who do absolutely great job in terms of community policing. Hundreds and hundreds of community meetings throughout the year, and that's where the engagement occurs. But just as importantly, you'll be surprised how we can get ideas from the public on how we can do a better job. So once those ideas and suggestions are elicited, they can be implemented so that the police force can do a better job. But it can't occur unless there's some sort of partnership, a vehicle for people to meet, and a mechanism for communication to flow.
Well, I'm going to go to Gerald, because don't you other two guys get offended by what I'm getting ready to say. He's the youngest.
About a couple years, yeah.
And the reality is, you were out there with the NAACP. That march went very well. But, Gerald, who is leading these other little things? I mean, I was so upset when I saw young black men standing on top of a tractor trailer on William Street wearing a mask like the Ku Klux Klan. That bothered me.
Yes, and what we have to understand is we're trying to bridge the generational gap. You know, I myself are, you know, I'm in the middle. You know, I'm not quite a millennial. I'm not quite a seasoned generation. I'm in the middle. And what we're failing to understand is the children, the teenagers, the 20-somethings, they're very angry. And they're angry because they feel like they've been left out of the process. So they're creating their own process. And we have to respect that because, you know, in the civil rights generation, they were teens, 20s, 30s when they got involved. And now they've, you know, achieved what they've achieved and they want to give back, but they don't really connect with the young people. Now, being closer to the young people and being also the vice president of the NAACP, I think we're in a uniquely great position to bridge that because, you know, as Chairman Eaves has said, there are these vehicles that can, you know, we can give input, but the young people don't know when those meetings are because they are on social media. These are instantaneous things, so we have to bridge that gap. And for the young people that were out on top of the bridge, that, you know, you got to understand something. Young people have a lot of energy. And so we told them, you know, again, that the march ends at 8. They want to march and go on to the connector because they believe that that's going to cause the greatest impact.
And also causes people not to like them. We're going to continue this conversation after we take this break because I have to do this. We have to make some money. You're listening to KISS 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks.